This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
The NCAA has initiated, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN, the final steps to expand the men's and women's basketball tournaments to 76 teams. Sources told ESPN yesterday. There's still steps to take in terms of approvals via various NCAA committees. They're just formalities, though. It's going to happen. They have what they need to move forward, a source said. They met with media partners for the men's tournament last week. Sources told ESPN the sides were in final steps of the media contracts per sources, but they had not been signed. Once the contracts are completed, the NCAA also would need approval from various committees that include the men's and women's basketball committees. So it sounds like it's happening. The NCAA said this in a statement: expanding the basketball tournaments would require approval from multiple NCAA committees, including the men's and women's basketball committees, and no final recommendations or decisions have been made at this time, but it sounds like it's going to be something. According to Thamel, the primary driver of this move hasn't been money, but rather access for at-large bids. Keep it in mind for power conferences. The expansion has been pushed by power conferences, which have grown throughout the course of the current deal. I highlighted this. The mechanics of the expansion in the men's tournament would include 8 additional at-large bids. What's known as the first four, 8 teams playing 4 games in Dayton, Ohio, would expand to 12 games played by 24 teams at 2 sites, one of which was expected to remain in Dayton. The location of the new site has yet to be determined. The expansion would lead to an additional 8 men's games, meaning the Tuesday and Wednesday of the NCAA tournament would feature 24. So it's just more play-in teams, essentially, to get in. So the 64-team men's bracket would still begin Thursday and look much the same. So that part of it will look the same. They're just adding more of those play-in type of deals. What does this mean for the lesser conferences? Pete Thamel put together a piece of what does this mean exactly that for all of college athletics, for college basketball. Who does this help? He writes this, Michael. For better or worse, the days of Belmont or Middle Tennessee or Old Dominion earning at-large bids, meaning they win their chance, or at-large bids, meaning they rank high or whatever, are likely gone. That only changes if the NCAA adopts a tournament eligibility floor, such as requiring conference records of 500 better for at-large consideration, in which case they run the risk of big boys breaking away to form their own tournament before agreeing to any such restrictions. Here's what I wonder. How does this affect the Big Sky Conference champion? We're adding more teams to get more at-large because the power conferences want more opportunities to get in. Is this a bad sign for those conferences like the Big Sky, where you get one in, which is the champion of your conference? Will we continue with that model of every conference gets a representative in the Division I. Does every conference still get a representative? At this point, we would be led to believe that the Big Sky champion would still be among the 64. But if this whole thing has been driven by the power conferences, is this an idea to slowly drift away? Because there is also a belief that if the power conferences don't get their way, then they could break off and do their own thing, much like we've talked about with the CFP.
And guess what? That would not be very popular.
It would not be, because you do away with your all your Cinderella stories. And I know most of the time Cinderella stories don't go into the Elite Eight, but it's what do we always say, Mike? The best
first
week
rounds are the best.
The best. The play-in, the first four, it's okay. It's an appetizer. But it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that weekend. So I don't know what that means. It definitely means the chances of at-larges for conferences like the Mountain West and the American and West Coast Conference, and maybe even the Pac-12, we'll see what that looks like for them. Thamel writes this: those hoping for a glut of additional mid-majors in a 76-team field are likely to be disappointed. So this, you know, anything I'm hearing from Mountain West fans or even Pac-12 fans at this point, we'll see what they do. I know their conference is going to be strong. Got Gonzaga in there, Mike. He writes, outside the recent and extremely rare example of Miami, Ohio, the bubble has consisted primarily of mediocre power conference members, along with high-end contenders from mid-major leagues, such as the Atlantic 10, Mountain West, American, and West Coast Conference. We know the Mountain West is about to change drastically, though, or has already changed drastically. We can also expect the re-emerging Pac-12 to be part of the new at-large mix. So that's actually a good sign for CSU fans because, well, they're bringing Gonzaga in, Mike, so that's going to help that conference, you know, if you can compete and maybe even win once or twice against Gonzaga here and again. That's only going to help your cause. But with the Mountain West losing so many of their primary basketball teams, that's certainly going to hurt that conference. So I don't know. Is this a good idea? It's just all this is doing is just adding more potential power conference bubble teams to get in. Those teams that were big names, but right outside, it's going to allow them to get in.
I feel it's like this is the best analogy that I can come up with on the spot. But, you know, when you're at a restaurant and you get to pick your own drink, kind of like a Qdoba type, you're like, oh, I know, I'm going to get a Coca-Cola. But then you decide, I'm also going to get a Sprite at the same time. But then you decide, oh, I'm also going to get a Hawaiian Punch at the same time. I feel like this is what you're doing. You had your straight-up Coke, but then you decided to, like, mess it up with Hawaiian Punch grape flavor.
Or you're watering it down.
You're just adding
water to your Sprite.
Yeah.
You got a full Sprite, and now we're going to fill it up halfway with Sprite and just water it down. The dude down the hall texting in, can we have less teams in? Feels like they're watering the whole thing down. I don't need to see 18 and 16 record big boy teams thinking they belong. I want all the conference champions and conference tournament winners in, then let the committee decide the rest. Yeah, I don't ever want it to change. I got my two-man games podcast with Steve Smiley tomorrow morning. Definitely going to ask him about this because I want to see what his initial thoughts are. Is this a – because you can't do away, you know, as much as you don't like my idea of the NCAA football, Division I, like every conference has a representative, you got to agree with me that in basketball, every conference needs a representative.
Basketball, completely different. Basketball, different sport. You can have a terrible college team beat a good college team any night because sometimes those shots just don't happen.
Now, here's something. Would you consider revoking your UNC? You win the Big Sky tournament. What if your record is not 500? They were over 500, but what if you're below 500? do they say, no, you have to not only win your conference championship, but you have to be over 500. Otherwise, your automatic bid goes to, likely, a power conference bubble team.
Yes, I like that.
You do?
I like.
But it's most of those teams that are the Cinderella stories, though, those ones that are flirting with 500.
Look, you have to be at least 500. Probably it's basketball, so you have to have a winning record. You can't. I'm sorry, but
so you
teams
actually would side with this idea that the you're adding eight additional teams. They'd be eight additional at-larges. If this is the direction we're going, those eight additional, odds are most of those are going to be power conference teams. You know what the greedy tend to do, get more greedy. So they get their eight teams, and then they say, you know what?
You want nine.
We didn't get Texas. For some reason, Texas Tech had a weird year, and they were on the bubble of even the 76 teams. And then they come back and say, there's no reason Texas Tech shouldn't be in when UNC won their conference, but they are whatever, however many games they play, they are they're below 500. Would they come in and do something like that? Because again, that's how this works, folks, in college sports. The power conferences decide everything, and they get greedier as this goes. Bears were 20-12 this year, so. But the second, the Bears were 20-12. Portland State was 20-11. But everybody else in the Big Sky flirted with 500. So odds are your lesser mid-major conference champ is going to be over 500. So I don't think you're in jeopardy of that unless it's just suddenly a down year for everybody in the Big Sky.
I mean, and that would have to be everybody in the Big Sky is beating each other up. And, of course, you're going to have everybody's going outside the conference playing some money games.
Yeah, because
so
UNC is going to play.
Probably not going to happen, but it could happen, and
it
I
could.
Would write that in there.
I mean, UNC is typically going to have their 5 to 6 games where you just pencil them in. They're going to win. But they have lost to Colorado College before. They've lost to those teams before. And I guess Aaron's saying, I would say any school that's at 500 has no place being invited to the madness.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You could be Duke, and you get to 500. Sorry, Duke, you are unworthy.
But what if their schedule is, like, all monsters?
Yeah, I don't care if you played the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. Win more games.
Schedule better. The CW Network and ESPN are joining forces. The CW Network and ESPN team up to stream more than 800 hours of live events from CW Sports on the ESPN app. Now, I have the CW Network. I can't miss an episode of Charmed. So I have the network, obviously.
What's your favorite episode, Brady?
Season 8, episode 4. I'm not going to get into it right now. This is not the same thing as ESPN Plus, Michael. CW Sports events will exclusively stream live within the ESPN app for all ESPN Unlimited plan subscribers. I don't have that. I'm not subscribing to another thing. I'm done. So I already have the CW Sports Network, but I guess the games that maybe won't be exclusive on the CW Network you could potentially watch on, or is it just the games that are on the CW Network that are scheduled to play on the CW Network will be, there's going to be secondary options to watch it on the ESPN app? All questions that will be answered at some point. Single viewer friendly experience through this groundbreaking agreement. All CW Sports will broadcast live on the CW Network as well as stream live on the ESPN app for fans with an ESPN Unlimited subscription plan. So this helps the cable cutters, Michael. The people that don't have the direct TVs and Dish Networks and Comcast. So this does nothing for me, but hey, being a fan of the new Pac-12, the Conference of Champions, that's what it's called, Mike. That's the name. Bill Walton, the Conference of Champions.
The Conference of used to be champions. The Conference of Mediocre.
They really weren't ever. Not that much. Conference of Champions, Pac-12. This will just give those people that... I'm happy that they have another opportunity. As long as it doesn't affect me, personally, because it's all about me, Mike. It's my world. You're just living in it. As long as I'm fine, that's cool. But this helps more eyeballs get opportunities if you don't have the directs, the dishes, the Comcast. You can watch your CW games on the ESPN app. I'll tell you, ESPN Plus has changed the way I sports, especially during basketball season. Let me ask you this, going back to the 76 thing. Does this take away even more venom from the regular season? I mean, can we all agree that college basketball regular season outside of your market, if you're a diehard CSU fan, you're going to watch every game. If you're a diehard CU fan, you're going to watch every game. But those that just are casual viewers of basketball, and it's always like, well, I don't really start paying attention until, you know, early March or February. Did that not just get moved down a little bit? I mean, they keep messing around. They're going to be the NBA regular season. Or maybe they already are. Maybe they're less. I don't know. I don't know what the ratings are comparatively.
Well, this just in, they're doing the NCAA Cup.
Well, they're going to add so many teams.
It's a slippery slope. Pretty soon you're going to have 100 teams in the tournament.
What was wrong with the way it was? Now, you get more markets in, but...
Well, I guess 64 is not the best number for them. They just want to throw out brand new numbers. 64 is a great number. It's a great tournament. It is, of all the tournaments and playoffs, it's like up there with the NHL playoffs. It's pretty awesome. But now your Cinderella stories are just
well, it's 64,
more irrelevant.
64 original, and then you have your first four in. So then you add your four more, so 68. It turns out to be a 68-team tournament once it starts on Thursday. And that would still be the same.
Except now there's 72.
Well, now there's 76. There's 76. Eight more, but they're playing more play-in games, I guess. There's going to be 12 games.
So I guess we're going to have an 11 versus an 11, and then a 16 versus a 16, and a 15 versus a 15, and then a three versus a three.
They're just going to have to play more games to get in, is what's going to happen.
So basically, if you're Kentucky and you're doing pretty well, and you know you're playing a 13, you just don't know who you're going to play until two nights before.
So it's this traditional 64. Never mind, I was screwed up on that. It's a traditional 64 team. Men's bracket would still begin Thursday. So it's just adding more to their Tuesday-Wednesday game.
But that's still more teams who are involved in that whole thing. And you just need 64. You don't need those 12 extra teams trying to get in there.
I just, like, come on. Does everybody need to be in? Everybody needs to be in. Every power conference needs to be in now? Is that what we're doing? GoPoke says, what was wrong with 4? 64 doesn't make as much as 76. I mean, it's just, you're going to make more money. You'll make more money because you have more games, more advertising opportunities. I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. And those of you mid-major people, it's not really for you. This isn't for you. This is for the power conferences. This is an opportunity for their bubble teams, which the bubble primarily consists of power conference teams, to get in. So it's not. This isn't like Go Pokes. This isn't for the Mountain West. And right now, the Pac-12 might have some weird questions coming up for football season, but I do think their basketball conference is going to be pretty good. I don't know what the impact is there. Maybe the impact helps the Pac-12 on that side of it, but it certainly doesn't help a lot of these other conferences. It's all about money, man. That's what we're going to keep doing. We're going to milk this thing for everything it's worth. And then we're not even going to have a regular season. Just start March Madness in October.
I can't wait for the ratings to just tank.
There's fatigue, right? Because I'll admit, when we get to the second weekend, or no, when we get to the third weekend, I'm kind of like, wake me up when the NBA and NHL playoffs start.
Yeah, if I don't have a dog in the fight, I kind of stop paying attention. And I go, oh, hey, I have my Final Four is still good. And then the next week, oh, my Final Four has been destroyed, but I still have my champion.
I just think it was perfect the way it was.
Faith saying, texting in on the First Advantage text line, are they worthwhile games?
Nope.
It's too many games as it is, and March Madness already rolls into April as it is. Well, and that wouldn't change. The timeline, the dates, none of that would actually change because this would just be adding more games to Tuesday. So Tuesday and Wednesday, instead of games starting at 4:45, we're probably going to have an all-day thing Tuesday and an all-day thing Wednesday, like we do Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and the following Thursday and Friday, following Saturday and Sunday.
So Big City Roadhouse and Eaton Country Club, are we going to go there
all day?
4 days?
Tanner and I are going to be running a lot more races, I guess. Little pre-basketball entertainment.
Oh, you're going to have to – I think it's got to be more than just racing. I think one day
more
you're going to have to do the javelin.
Probably.
And then the next day you're going to have to do that little medicine ball thing at the end of the rope. Just see how far you can throw that. And then maybe a relay race with some of your friends.
Yeah, we could do a relay. I don't know, Mike. It's just too much. It doesn't it, – it's all this is for the power conferences to gain more. Did you see the – I know you're not scrolling social media much, but there was a TMZ reporter that was just hounding Mike Vrabel in the airport the other day. Just saying, are you going to get back together with your wife? Are you going to be doing this? And what's your message to the Patriots fans? And, I mean, Vrabel didn't respond, but this just takes me back to my question I had for you 2 weeks ago, Mike, before this all spiraled. Is Mike Vrabel's job in jeopardy? Is this a – I mean, dude, now you're seeing the trolls, and I don't even know if they're trolls anymore. There has been discovered a Spotify playlist from Diana Russini that she allegedly created for Mike Vrabel. I know. It's weird. But it coincides when the Titans went on a losing streak and all the songs that were added and dedicated and sent to, shared to a Mike on Spotify – were right during those games, and it was a lot of like redemption songs and you pump up, get back at it, rise up, that kind of stuff. It's just getting weirder as we go here, and if you don't think this is a distraction, then you're out of your mind. Is this really something that goes away when the Patriots kick off their season week one? I don't know that the answer is an obvious yes anymore.
What's really going to be crazy is if you find out that a reporter in Jacksonville has been sleeping with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The one that was like, hey, man, you're doing good. Keep your head up.
Yeah.
Remember how everybody flipped out about that?
Yeah.
You remember when the four-letter network flipped out about that and they didn't have anything to say about Diana Russini? Like, what? This woman got crucified for saying, coach, you're bringing life back to the city. You're making people love football again, which I had no problem with because it was true.
Well, I have no problem with it depending on what outlet she's working for.
Which it was not an NFL.
Like if it's not a, and I don't want to belittle anybody, but if it's not a super legitimate media source, yeah. I don't care if she does that.
It was a Jacksonville Free Press reporter Lynn Jones Turpin praising Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen. And she got roasted for that.
She shouldn't get roasted too much, though.
She shouldn't have got roasted at all.
Like, if she was, like, working for, like, a major newspaper, I have a problem with that. But,
dude,
like, I'm not going to
next time I'm at
say,
a press conference.
She should be fired.
Next time I'm at a press conference, and it's Jim Mora, I am going to just totally pull a Lynn Jones. And I'm going to be, coach, you are an inspiration to humans. Like, the America is better because of you, Jim Mora, because of what you've done for Americans. I'm just going to, because I think that would be fun. Damn you, Eastside Chris. Apparently there's pictures of Vrabel and a gal kissing from earlier. It's Diana Russini. This is all your fault because you and Tanner's fault. That's Tanner's fault, actually. This one was not on you. Aaron texting in, I think if Mike Vrabel didn't make the Super Bowl last season, it might be, but he ain't going anywhere. I don't know, man. I mean, not now.
I don't think you can fire him for this, but like, if it if the distraction keeps who there was a gal, she used to be a sideline reporter, but then she quit so she could do some Republican commentary. And I can't remember her name, but she was complaining about this whole thing, like making female reporters look bad.
Oh,
and I agree.
It does. Listen, you know how people are. I shared with you the Kay Adams clip where she was talking to Jonah Coleman. And comments on there, some of them are actually pretty PC and professional and stuff, but there's already radical comments on just that kind of stuff, man. Like, that is, it's disgusting, to be honest. And it's unfortunate that that's where we are, but that's where we are.
Yeah, and there have always been those comments on female reporters, and that sucks. But now it's way worse because one person just had to be completely unprofessional.
And it's just unraveling. I saw RG3 tweeted this too, Michael. He said that, why aren't we, why am I blanking out on the Michigan coach? Because I did watch that. Come on. Help me out. Help me. Sharon Moore. There it went. Clicked my brain. RG3 was basically saying, we're not talking about the Vrabel-Russini story nearly as much as we were the Sharon Moore story.
I'm talking more about
this story.
Russini.
Yes, and Sharon Moore, I'm sorry, but he committed a crime.
He was way worse than them combined.
It was way worse, and we didn't talk about it as much. The Vrabel-Russini story has dominated sports talk and news talk and political talk for weeks now. The Sharon Moore story was done in 2 weeks. Now it's popped back up because she, the woman went on a news outlet and she was talking about a lot of crazy stuff. The Paige Shiver thing. Is it Shiver? That she was pregnant during this whole process. She described him breaking into her apartment and, you know, threatening to kill himself and all this stuff. And that was a crazy nutso story, Michael. But to say that we talked about that more than this, that is completely false. And if you think otherwise, you're just trying to stir something up that's not there.
Yeah. To be fair, that is college football. And most people care more about the NFL. When you're talking about college football, as soon as college football comes on, you're like, what did the NCAA screw up again?
I just don't know if everyone's going to forget it when the season starts like we thought at first. I don't know.
Things just keep getting worse. The more people do research, and I wish they would stop doing research and let it go, but it just feels like it's going to continue to spiral into stupidity.
Well, yeah, the TMZ. Like, I'm not for that. Like, you're
let them go.
Let them go.
Let people who have been fired shop at the supermarket.
12:33 the time. We got to take a break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, for some reason, there's a national narrative. Well, not for some reason. I know why. There's a national narrative and even a local narrative that this series between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, if the Nuggets do in fact go on to lose this thing, whether it's tomorrow night or Saturday night, that this puts a serious dent in Nikola Jokic's legacy. I mean, did we hear ourselves when we, especially when it's statewide media, do we hear ourselves? Do we hear ourselves when we talk? I mean, I know I do. Michael, yes.
This is why I've always hated that argument. Oh, this guy should be a Hall of Famer because he won blank championship. Last I checked, team sport. Football, basketball,
well,
team sport.
I mean, I get the championship thing, and I do. I do think in the NBA this day and age, it's going to be harder to see dynasties. I don't believe we're going to see, you know, six titles in, what was it, 8 years for the Bulls. I don't think we're going to get there. We might see more like what we could see, like what the Spurs did, where their championships were kind of spread out. You know, they kept their core three guys. They added Kawhi Leonard later, and their head coach and Greg Popovich. I could see that happening more. Like, if the Thunder don't win a championship this year, they'd still be a contender for the next 5 years. Maybe they win one or two in 5 years rather than just, like, back-to-back, and then they take a break, and then another back-to-back. I don't know if we're going to see that. So I also think that our judging of the greats is going to change because of the aprons that won't really allow you to keep a lot of those guys. I mean, keep in mind, the Bulls, Scottie Pippen played for very little. You know, Scottie Pippen was like one of the great players in the game and just got screwed over and probably didn't have the right people surrounding him to make better decisions. But if he would have, he might not have stayed on with the Chicago Bulls for as long as he did. So I do think that we've got to change it a little bit. But as far as like the hurting his legacy, if you were already having conversations about him being top 15, top 10 or beyond, nothing has changed that. I mean, he does. You restarted your franchise last year. Not all the way, but you restarted with a new head coach and a new management team, and you traded one of your core players. I thought potentially they could win a championship this year. And I still believe they can win this series, Michael, and then get ready because we're jumping on beating the damn Spurs, but we got to get through tomorrow night first. I just don't know how we can really have this conversation of this is hurting us. Three-time MVP. He's got a championship. Finals MVP, 8-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA first team. And we're really having a discussion as to whether it hurts his legacy. Is he better than Michael Jordan? No. Is he better than Kobe Bryant? I'm not ready to say that. Is he better than LeBron James? I'm not ready to say that. But I wasn't ready to say that at the beginning of this last season. But he has, I mean, 2026, which was considered a weird year for him, and he was out for a month. He was the NBA rebounding leader and NBA assists leader. Every year, the man does something different than he did the year before in a positive, and we're really willing to tag it's championship or bust for Nikola Jokic. I just don't agree.
Brady, he's just not charismatic enough. He's not selling enough things. He's just not cool enough.
How many championships has LeBron James won? Is it four? Yeah, four. And how many teams did it take him to do that? Three. He won one with Cleveland. He won two with Miami. And they won in the bubble with the Lakers. And yet LeBron James is considered, by some, the GOAT. By others, second. So even smaller amount, we'll say three. If Nikola Jokic wanted to go get a championship and put himself in the running instantly, he would not sign the max contract, and he could go to L.A. and be their center and play with Luka and play with Austin Reeves and potentially LeBron James for a year or two and go win four titles. Would LeBron have won four championships had he stayed just in Cleveland? You tell me. I don't know. Because he went to Miami and joined a Dwayne Wade team who had won a championship and then brought in Chris Bosh from Toronto, who was very good, and he won two of those. They went to four finals, and he won two. Everybody believed they should have won four, but it was the Dallas Mavericks who had a crazy run that year and knocked him out, and the Spurs got him and won. So this, you're kind of right. Like, this whole idea that we are just going to judge it based off of championships, it's not right. Stephen A. was saying, you know, Magic Johnson lost in the first round of the playoffs. Will this hurt his legacy? No. The guy could retire tomorrow, and he's still going to, he should be considered a top 15. He should probably be considered a top 10. He can further that with obviously championships. He can further that, but he can do nothing to tarnish it. And this, and even Denver media thinking somehow trading him and resetting this whole thing is a good idea. What are we, dude? You guys are just you're reaching, man. You're just trying to get clicks. You're not trying to be logical. You're not trying to be a logical sports talker.
They ran out of things to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about. We don't need to make stuff up. We got the NCAA changing rules. We got the NBA tanking rules to talk about. The Rockies are something.
Bo Nix's ankle.
Bo Nix's ankle is constantly in the news. Michael's going to start a Twitter account. We just had the Broncos draft, which I'll admit wasn't that sexy, but I am getting more and more excited about Jonah Coleman. 12:43 the time. Let's take a quick break here. The idea that this is affecting Joker's legacy is ridiculous. Could this affect David Adelman's job? Absolutely. Could this affect other guys on that roster and potentially their landing spots going forward? Absolutely, but not the Joker. Let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
A lot of red hot topics here today on a tweener day. It's a tweener day. Tomorrow is a Nuggets day. Today's a tweener day.
But the Rockies are on, we hope.
Yeah. I got to watch The Natural tonight, Mike. That's my mission. Is we got to watch The Natural for the movie review. It's not called the movie review, but you know what it's called. Do you know what it's called? Can you say it? Yeah.
Go. Brady and Micah review things because
stop.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, that was terrible. 49 minutes after the hour. Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Get that AC ready to go for what probably is going to be a hot, nasty summer. We'll wrap up hour number two. Sean Keeler going to join us, Keeling Me Softly. Also, the clip of the day. All that and more coming up next.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, we got more on the college basketball expansion, the March Madness expansion. We'll get into that. Sean Keeler will join us from Keeling Me Softly. He actually sat down with Mr. Irrelevant, and we'll get his thoughts on that interview. He covered that in one of his columns this week in the Denver Post. So we'll look forward to that conversation for Keeling Me Softly. And more on the Nuggets Timberwolves Game 6. Was Monday night just a perfect case of fighting back, your back's against the wall, home court? Or can the Nuggets really find it deep down within them to force a game 7? We'll discuss it coming up next. Keep it here on The Hulse Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.